We're going to be starting a new series for this fall. It's called True Freedom, The Garden Where the Fruit of the Spirit Grows. You'll find just an overview of what we're going through over this next number of weeks. This will take us right until Advent. And so please do follow along in your biblical reading. I encourage you. It's not only going to be stuck in Galatians, particularly verses 22 to 23. We're also going to be jumping across through some of Paul's letters, some of the Gospels, as well as the Psalm and Genesis as well. So please do take a look at that. I hope that helps you in your preparations or devotional life. Speaking of which, school's back in for many of us. Summer is now slowly coming to an end. Just this morning, as James and I were walking out in this bright, beautiful, sunlit morning, it started downpour, and we're going, what is going on here? And so we quickly ran home and grabbed our umbrellas and made it here, and the sun's out in full force. So very interesting. Summer is slowly coming to an end. If you were paying attention to some of the news headlines this past summer, you'll recall that mayors in about 30 towns this summer cited France's century-old secular laws in banning head-to-toe swimwear. Get that right. They were banning head-to-toe swimwear. They wanted people to wear nothing. They wanted less clothing on their beaches, and this unleashed a storm of protest. Several of the towns later revoked the bans after France's highest administrative court ruled that they were a serious violation of basic freedoms, because they're mandating you must strip on these beaches, you must wear just a bikini. And of course, this was in response to the Muslim influx of burkinis, as you will see up there. President Hollande rejected calls by conservatives, including his arch rival, former President Nicolas Sarkozy, for the state to ban the burkini, saying it would be unconstitutional. Racist as well. A couple of days ago, following on the heels of that story, the publishers of an Air China in-flight magazine warned about ethnic minority areas in London, and they have issued an apology as Chinese media and public back the airline for giving people the truth about the British capital. Air China's Wings of China magazine sparked accusations of racism after it warned visitors that precautions are needed when entering areas mainly populated by Indians, Pakistanis, and black people. How do you feel about that one, Willie? Obviously, the remarks caused an outcry among London's MPs, with two saying that they would seek answers from the Chinese ambassador to the UK. They've since apologized. Similarly, Japan is in the news. My apologies, Junko. They are facing claims of bigotry. For the second year in a row, the Miss World Japan beauty pageant was won by someone of half Indian and half Japanese ethnic ancestry. This half Indian beauty queen with an elephant trainer's license for her resume was crowned Miss Japan on Monday, striking a fresh blow for racial equality. Her name was Priyanka Yoshikawa. Priyanka Yoshikawa's tearful victory comes a year after Ariana Miyamoto faced an ugly backlash for becoming the first black woman to represent Japan. And she is born of African and Japanese ancestry. Social media lit up after Miyamoto's trailblazing triumph as critics complained that Miss Universe Japan should instead have been won by a pure Japanese rather than a hafu or half-blooded. A word used to describe mixed race, and it's more of a pejorative rather than a nice term. Sometimes blood is thicker than water, right? As I began dating Charlene in our early days while in university, I recall meeting her grandpa for the first time. It was during the weekend of her brother's wedding, and you have to imagine the whole Froese clan was there, and these are good German folk who speak quite plainly. We're all sitting around a very large round table in the dining room. It's not so different from a Chinese table in a restaurant. Very big, very round, so the whole family can get around. You could see the whole family, and they could see you. Opa says to Charlene at the end of the meal, and we're just digging into some ice cream and peaches. Charlene, yes, Opa, you know David is Chinese. I'm like, oh, here we go. She goes, yes, Grandpa. Yes, Opa. So, what will your children look like? I'm like, oh my goodness, here we go, it's on the table. And she goes, without skipping a beat, Opa, they will look beautiful. And I fell even more deeply in love with this woman. So coming to Killarney, an intentionally intercultural church, meant something to me. When we first visited, we saw so many visible racially blended families. Bill and June, we can't imagine what, I know you're going to be listening to this later on, June, we can't imagine what you had to go through in the infancy of your relationship back in the 50s and 60s. We felt a certain level of freedom or liberty here, like we belonged. My children are biracial, just like many of us are here. Some mixes are just not as visible, right? There's German and Russian. How visible is that? German and Dutch. How about English and Scottish? Historically, they don't get along, but there are mixes here that represent that. Scottish and Icelandic. That's not visibly different, but you know what? Historically, that's huge. The list goes on. Paul talks about the freedom that we have in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus, back in Galatians 3:28. Now, although our nation has enshrined our liberty in Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, our culture wrestles with freedom. We have debates over religious expression. Some of us fear Muslim refugees. We struggle with racism and, really, anyone different from us, whether they're of a different ethnic origin or religious background or even a sexual orientation. We are currently debating the right to live at both ends of the spectrum. Instead of living in freedom, it seems like our nation is living in fear. Religious discrimination, racism, these things are very present in our world today. We read the news stories in the paper or hear about it on the internet, but it is just as prevalent in our own country, Canada, or even within our own city, Vancouver, or Metrovan. Now, the church in Galatia struggled with these very same issues, brothers and sisters. The issues of legalism and religious exclusivity and racism, they caused fissures and splits within the church. And so Paul wrote his letter explaining what true freedom actually is. Even though some of his audience were freemen or in a free country, they were Roman citizens. True freedom, writes Paul, is only found in the living God through Jesus Christ. It is marked by love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Eugene Peterson says this. He says, there are no absolute freedoms. Absolute freedoms are fantasy freedoms. They deny God and they ignore creation. The Apostle Paul would agree. According to his letter to the Jesus followers in Galatia, Paul says that true freedom is only available to those, as Chris has said, to those who have surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ. We sang about that this morning. Real freedom is for those who have crucified the flesh. In other words, they have put to death their own selfish desires. Put in other words, if we move over and give God the steering wheel of our lives, we're going to find freedom. If we march according to the Holy Spirit's orders, we'll find true liberty. Paul was arguing against the strict legalism of Judaism. Jewish Christians, who were the first Christians and Christ followers, they were saying that any new Greeks who became Christians had to become circumcised, and that's why we were reading about that this morning in the passage. This was part of Moses' law that was given. It was to mark these followers of God back in the Old Testament as very different from the culture around them. And so those Jewish people who were very devout and faithful, when they became Christians, they said, hey, any of you Greeks, when you become Christians and join us, you'll also have to get snip, snip. And some of these older guys are like, what are you talking about? Oh my goodness. I can totally understand their feelings of horror. Paul was saying that the way of the law makes salvation dependent upon human achievement. In other words, works of humanity, stuff that we're responsible. Isn't it about God? To Paul, all that mattered was faith, which works through love, not action. Not actions dependent upon human beings. Faith, which works through love. This is just another way of saying that the essence of Christianity is not law, meaning the Jewish law, the Ten Commandments, even all the commandments in Leviticus, because if you broke one of those rules, you've broken all of the law. And there's over 300, by the way. Paul was saying it is not founded on this book, the Torah, but on a person, Jesus Christ. Its dynamic is not obedience to any law, but actually a submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, as Chris was sharing this morning as he led singing. Paul was saying to his Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ in verse 1, you know what? You are free at last. You are free at last. What does Paul actually mean when he says we're free? First, we need to observe that being free is a relationship with God. Let me briefly expand on that. In the presence of God, we are free from the curse of the law so we can live as free children. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 4. Second, being free is the result of the death of Jesus Christ. We were captive to sin and the law, but Christ's death redeemed us from the curse of the law. Third, being free is life in the Spirit of God. Now the Spirit, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Paul has to reiterate that again in 2 Corinthians. What we do need to understand, folks, is that Paul's view of freedom is not our society's view of freedom. In fact, they are almost in direct opposition to one another. For Paul, freedom involves slavery to God and his will, while for our society, freedom means doing what everyone wants. For Paul, freedom begins only in a relationship with God through Christ the Son in the Spirit. While our society, freedom means being alone. For Paul, individual, social, and psychological freedom is the glorious outworking of what God can do in a person through Christ Jesus in the Spirit. But for our society, these forms of freedom, individual, social, and psychological, these are the determining goals of life. That's what they pursue, ultimately. Here's the rub. We cannot apply freedom to our world unless we share the gospel with our world. Simple as that. It means that we cannot proclaim our message of freedom until we proclaim the reality of sin. It eats us up. It's eating us up from the inside. As followers of Jesus, we also need to inform our world that they are set free through Jesus Christ and the Spirit. People are set free to do a number of things, and some of those things are to serve God, to follow Jesus, and to live in the Spirit. We're going to be talking about that over these next number of weeks, what that looks like. But this is not what our society wants. Our society wants to be left alone, to tear down social barriers, and to find oneself. Vancouver is famous for that. Jesus wants us to be left with him and his people, and that, folks, is terribly, terribly scary, especially when we're demanding to be vulnerable with one another, because we're being vulnerable with the Lord, because he has become vulnerable to us. We're just following his lead. Jesus wants us to break down barriers in society, but as a reflection of God's love in our hearts, and to find oneself in denying ourselves before God. Our identity is found in him and in him alone. What will this freedom be like when we find it? Well, I firmly believe that this is our focus and raison d'etre, the reason of being here as Christ followers. The person who truly is free is a person who, number one, trusts and loves and obeys God through Christ and the Spirit. That's the great commandment. Love God with all that you are, with all your being. Number two, the person who is truly free is a person who loves and serves others. And this is also part of the Great Commandment, to love others as ourselves, to love our neighbor as ourselves. And lastly, someone who's free lives before God with a clear conscience as he or she grows before God in holiness and love. Brothers and sisters, I think that this is our mission and our vision, actually, for the year. To love God with all that we are, all that we have, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So I actually agree with our culture that there are at least three dimensions of freedom. We need to be free individually so that we can be who God wants us to be. We need to be free socially so that all can see the glory of God. And we need to be free psychologically so we can relate to God and others authentically and clearly. And as we journey together ever closer to our Maker, may we make Jesus our goal. The fruit will eventually come. The fruit is actually not the goal, folks. That is the byproduct of this journey. The fruit of the Spirit are not our goals. If we trust and love and obey God, we will see the fruit of the Spirit forming on the limbs of our heart. If we love and serve others, we will come to enjoy the process of growing the fruit in our lives. In the same way, one gardens, it takes time to plant a seed and see it spring forth with life after it germinates. I'm just discovering this. My mom has got a green thumb, and now I kind of understand that love for gardening. If you need gardening tips, talk to Neil. He's our gardener here at the church, and he has taught me so much. The thing is, when you plant a seed and wait for it to germinate, it's not something spectacular. It's quite mundane, actually. It takes consistency and care, just a little bit every day. Yet at some point, we get to see the flower emerge, the bud, the fruit of the work. Christmas is coming, okay? I heard an audible groan. It's coming. I've already seen adverts from certain stores showcasing the latest Christmas tree. And Canadian Tire actually has Christmas trees in one of their flyers. I was a bit disgusted by that. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas, but you know, we haven't even crossed the threshold of Halloween, for heaven's sake. Thanksgiving, thanks. You're so biblical. You're so spiritual. Now, don't get me wrong, our family loves getting the Christmas tree, but just reflect with me for a minute. Compare those Christmas trees with the ordinary, humdrum, but real fruit trees in an orchard. Kind of like the trees that we passed in Carrimass on our way back home off of Highway 3. The Christmas trees look wonderful for a short time. But then they get packed away, folded up. Or some of us, if we buy the real ones, we cut them up and recycle them, right? They go into the recycler. The fruit trees may not look so spectacular, folks. In fact, during the winter, they look dead. But the reality is, if they're properly cared for, they will go on bearing fruit year after year after year. Which is more important? We hardly have to ask. As we journey forward in this series, brothers and sisters, True Freedom, my hope is that our focus on Jesus becomes much more clear. My hope is that our awareness of our need for Him is much more apparent. My hope is that we become truly dependent on the Spirit's leading and His healing and His work in our lives the same way that we need food and drink. Only then will we find what we're truly looking for: freedom in God through the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God. I'm going to invite those who are serving communion to come forward, and as they do so, I will pray. Would you join with me as those who are involved come forward? I'm going to invite the worship team to also come forward as well. In fact, worship team, be ready to line up here, because you'll get to go first, so then you can take the elements. God, thank you so much for the fact that you have brought yourself to bear as the Lamb who was slain on our behalf. You were our sin offering, and we thank you. And so we come before you understanding that true liberty, true freedom is only in recognizing that you are the one who offers pardon from sin and death. And it's only in you that we can have true life. So as you prepare our hearts for this time's Lord's Supper, would you guide us? Would you open our hearts and our minds to what Lawrence has to say and share as we open up the Word and open up our souls to your work, God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.